Silly Conversations, the podcast. Your host, Denzel Mills.
Right. So I think we're recording. So, podcasting world, podcasting people. I think we're recording. And today, I've just been thinking about, it was nearly 1 year ago today that I decided to start a podcast. So I had the idea around about the end of June or July, and I got in touch with a few ex-students and people who I thought I always had a very good relationship with them when they were either clients or students of mine, etc. And so contacting them with the suggestion of setting up something which is not about focusing on learning English language, the grammar structures, 65,000 phrasal verbs you can learn in a week, methodologies to learn English better, and all these kind of things. It was just to say, there are people, as I've said before, who are doing great work and they're using Spanish or German or Italian as well as English. And the response from these people was also very good, because everyone said, great idea, great idea, count on me, and just let me know when you want to record something. So I thought, okay, so that's the first part. Then the second part was, of course, trying to find out what you actually need to do a podcast. Now, you have to remember that with a lot of my clients, students, private students, when they ask me for, how can I say, advice. Remember, advice is singular, it's not advices. Advice is singular. When they ask me for advice about the things they can listen to, the things they can do to improve their listening skills in the time that they have, and I always, from a very long time ago, recommended podcasts. Now, some people have the time, I don't know where they find the time, but some people have the time to, these people speaking very loud. Some people have the time to spend hours and hours watching Netflix. I really don't know where they find the time. But anyway, some people have that time. Other people don't. And I needed something which I thought, what would I do in this situation? Because I really don't watch a lot of Netflix or all these other ones, HBO, etc., Paramount. I do watch a lot of YouTube, and the reason why I do watch a lot of YouTube is because either I use it to learn something, or because generally it's about 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes you have some tutorials which are half an hour long, but it's in a time frame that I think is comfortable for me. And so when I used to suggest to clients who asked, I always said, try a podcast, try YouTube. Now, YouTube, obviously you need to be then listening or watching if it's a tutorial or something, or if it's somebody talking about, oh, this woman's shoes are very squeaky, listen. The motorbike went past, but she's wearing some squeaky shoes, a little bit like Crocs, but very patterny, lots of patterns, and then they're very, very squeaky. However, back to the point. I shouldn't be doing this outside. I get so distracted, but I kind of get a bit of inspiration when I'm outside. Anyway, back to the point. So recommending YouTube, sometimes people need to watch the information because it's a tutorial, etc. Podcasts are something you can just listen to and you can stop and start when you want. So that's quite cool for listening on the bus or the metro, the train, flights, etc. And that's what I kind of recommend. Then people said, but can you recommend podcasts? Now, obviously, everybody has their own likes. So what I might recommend would probably not be to the liking of many other students and many other clients that I have. So it's very difficult, and you can go very generic, things like BBC, audiobooks, etc. But again, people want something more specific. They want to know which BBC station and which audiobook do you recommend? And in the end, it was something that I thought, having spoken to a couple of other students, that maybe I should try to do something along the same sort of lines, something that you can just listen to. It has high or low value depending on the time that you have, depending on the effort that you want to put into it. And now I can see a kid coming my way with a ball. And if he starts bouncing that ball, I'm gonna bounce that kid so hard into the road, you would not, but he started bouncing. But he's far enough away, but not far enough for me to see and pick up the noise. So if you suddenly hear some screaming and shouting, it's me bouncing a kid on the concrete floor into the road. I don't know if you can say this on a podcast, but I'm only saying it. I haven't done it yet. So it was me saying to myself, well, why don't I try and learn how podcasts work and the editing process and what you need to do, and see if I can actually devise something myself, now that I've got a number of people who said they would be more than interested in participating. And so that's how it all started. One of the things I found most difficult in the podcasting things was the editing and trying to get a decent sound. So when you've listened to the first 10 or 12 or maybe more, 15 podcasts, I always had a bit of difficulty trying to get a good quality sound. I think for this next year of podcasting, the kids come back with the ball. For this next year of podcasting, I think I found a solution to the sound thing. So hopefully, with me giving some instructions to my guests about what they need to do from their side, and me learning a little bit more about how to edit and try to get the better sound, or the best sound I can from the recording, I think hopefully it should be a better quality and a more enjoyable listening experience. I sound like a professional, eh? A more enjoyable listening experience, says the man who's sitting outside watching motorbikes go by and threatening to bounce children off the floor. I digress. So let's get back to the point. The other thing which has come up quite a lot is, apart from those people who initially agreed to help, the other wave or the other group of people, all these people are wearing the same hat, but very strange. You know, they're wearing like bucket hats, but with extra bucket. You know, they're kind of, I don't know if that makes sense, but with extra bucket, it's kind of like a bit bigger, or maybe they've just got very big heads. Yeah, maybe I'll work on that later as well. So anyway, The other thing was people. Sometimes, well, let's start from sometimes. Now, when I first recorded myself, the first 5 or 6 times, listening to my voice, it was terrible. And then thinking, oh, this is the way I sound, these are all the mistakes I actually make, it was like a revelation. The kids come back with the ball. Don't even think about bouncing it here, young boy. Don't even think about it. Go back. And now he's just running past me. And now I've got a guy. I said to God, this is a bad idea. Now I've got a guy. I can't believe this. There's a guy and he's got these 2 little sausage dogs. You know, those little short, longy dogs. And he's hitting like a tennis ball. And one of the dogs is just so excited running after the ball, whilst the other one is just like looking around saying, you know, I can't be bothered with this. I just want to sit down. And then he's also on the phone as well. So there's me talking to myself on the street, and there's Mr. Tennis, the new Rafa Nadal dog tennis man, talking to his dogs. I don't know if this is ever going to make it into a podcast. The point. When I first heard myself, I thought, this is terrible. I sound terrible. I actually realized how many mistakes I actually made because I'm listening to record, to edit, and obviously to educate in my own fashion. And the same thing happens when people hear themselves for the first time. They feel very uncomfortable with actually hearing themselves. Now, I try and edit as fantastic as possible. Mr. Bouncy Ball is back with parents, which is going to... Okay, now, I was saying, which makes it very, very difficult for people to feel comfortable with the way they sound, I think not only in English, but also in Spanish, or their native language, and in the language they're learning. So sometimes when I've done the recordings with people, I always send them a copy to get their approval, that they like the recording, what we talked about, etc., and hopefully portrays them in a positive way. And the majority of the time, people generally say, yes, no problem. Go ahead, use the recording. There have been a few times where people have said, no, I really don't feel comfortable. I don't like it. So I've said, no problem. We won't record that show or we won't use that show. Dogs. I like dogs, but I like quiet dogs. And I like quiet dogs, especially when I'm recording. Now, I chose to come out into a public space and record, so 50% of it is my problem. However, if you observe a professional broadcaster sitting on a bench with all the equipment ever needed for an outside broadcast to be fantastic, you would normally go somewhere else and play with your dogs, wouldn't you? Not continue playing when the Matthias Prats of podcasting in English language is sitting outside watching the world go by. I think he's lost the ball, so that's a good thing. Nope, he's found the ball, bastard. Anyway, I think I should pause and then go to a different spot. As I was saying, so those people who have said, a few people, like 3 or 4 only, who have said, they weren't comfortable with how they sounded. We've never used that. But when other people have expressed some doubts, even though they've given me the okay and they said, oh, I sound a bit strange or I sound a bit robotic, the comments I get from people who have listened to the podcast, like clients or other students, and they'll send me a WhatsApp or they'll comment directly to me in a class or a session, and they say, oh, I really like the way that person sounded. They speak very clear, or they have good vocabulary, or they're very interesting in their job, you know? Or maybe even they say, oh, they have a very strange voice, but what they talked about was very interesting. You know, it was very exciting, or exciting. No one said exciting. It was very interesting. It was very interesting, that podcast. So really, I think we're always feeling a little bit uncomfortable, especially I think the people who've said no to me are always people who are, I would say, very high professionals. You know, they have a very, some of them have a very public image as well around Valencia and in their particular profession. So I can understand that they have an idea of how they want to be portrayed, and I'm not the person to try to limit that or whatever. But they do have some very interesting things to offer, and I think they add a lot of value, and they can add a lot of value to people who listen. So what I'm trying to say is, nearly a year ago, I started the podcast, and I think the first upload episode was in September at some stage, and by this September, or I would imagine the end of September, the podcast then will have a web page, working on it at the moment. And on that web page, obviously, you'll have the old podcasts and new ones, up and coming podcasts. You will have maybe a blog. Maybe I'm going to try and blog stuff, or maybe I'll get some other people to participate and help with the blog, because I'm a bit rubbish at that. Maybe I'll get this man who's playing with his dog, the Rafa Nadal dog tennis player man. Maybe I'll ask him to blog something. And there's some free stuff, you know, PDFs, links, etc. So that's what's coming. That's what's going to be, I suppose, the celebration of 1 year of podcasting in some shape or form. And then the continuation for 2026. So look out for the new website. I mean, of course, I'm going to tell you about it 1,000 times when it gets launched. And I would highly recommend you visit Rafa Stop Playing with the Dog. I would recommend you visit the website when it's up. Don't go looking for the website now and say, Denz, can't find a website. There's no website. It's in the process of being built. End of September, beginning of October, it will be live. And you can then look and search and enjoy until your heart is content. Podcasting people, podcasting world, Denzel Mills doing another outside broadcast with Rafa Nadal, dog tennis trainer, and young boy still not bouncing the ball. I think we made eye contact. I'm going to kill that Rafa Nadal dog trainer man. With the young boy, I think we made eye contact, and I think he realizes that, you know, you don't bounce the ball. Now, if I change my position, maybe I can do some staring at the Rafa Nadal dog training. And the dog's still not getting tired. Brings the ball back though, which is quite cool. That's better. The other one just watches. Oh, now there's a baby going past. I think this is the signal for me to kind of like say, stop now, and I'll catch you on the next one. So, podcasting people, podcasting world, thank you for your attention. Thank you for listening to all the traffic and my threats to children and Rafa Nadal, dog trainer, or tennis dog trainer. Until the next time, this was Silly Conversations, out in public with the noise and the people. Oh, now he's moving. Oh, yes. Now, I think they're done. They're finished. They've just gone past me. Ladies and gentlemen, who won? I won. I survived them all. Bouncing ball boy and Rafa Nadal, dog tennis trainer. I survived them all and still recording. So, enjoy your holidays when they start. And if you've already started, well, continue enjoying. And hopefully you have decided to listen to this with a nice martini, three olives. Okay? And till the next one, I think I'm going to try a few more of these summer outdoor broadcasting things because I quite like it. Because I like seeing the action that's going by as well. Inspires me not to kill, just to tell people what I really think. So, until the next one, see ya.
This is a public service announcement on behalf of Silly Conversations for those who are having difficulties in the summer months. Walking around the streets, looking a little lost, thinking about the times that have passed, wearing sandals and white socks, just like the old days, looking for something to do to pass the time away. Back, yes, back to having lunch between 12 and 1. An English teacher in the summer looks a little lost. Adopt an English teacher. Yeah. Adopt an English teacher for those language teachers in the summer who have lost their way. You can help by adopting an English teacher through this difficult time. You may have to experience corrections, homework, but remember, you're not obliged to do any. By adopting an English teacher, you provide a service to the society. You help English teachers stay true to their profession and not fall back into bad habits. Adopting an English teacher can be very simple. From 1 hour a week or 1 hour a day. If you're generous, you can invite them into your home for the whole week. For more information about adopting an English teacher for the summer months, you can contact me at SillyConversations. Adopt an English teacher for the summer. Adopt an English teacher. It's a social obligation.